Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. We're going to continue the second part of the success with God. The second part of success with God. If you are listening on the internet, the recording, we had technical problems with that for the first part, so unfortunately that's not available for you. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 57. And starting in verse 15, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." It is not possible to have success with God apart from humility before God and man, because one is an extension of the other. A lack of humility before God is how Satan became Satan, and is how the fall took place. A lack of humility with God is how restoration is blocked. But I also need to have humility before man. The humility that I have before man does not come in the way that I appear. The humility that I have before man is not even present in my behavior or in my actions pertaining to decisions in other ways. The Bible actually points out only one element of humility before man. But at the same time, this humility before man is absolutely critical for my success with God. In Proverbs 15:33, the Word of God says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." The fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom. What does that mean? Then in order for there to be the proper fear of the Lord, there must first be instruction of wisdom. Now, apart from a teacher, there is no instruction. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, the Word of God says, You younger, submit yourself to the elder. This is not talking about age, this is talking about office. "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, 1 Peter is telling us here that there's an extension of humility. And that extension of humility comes when I submit myself to the elders. The elders speaking of here, it's not plural, it's singular. Specifically referring to the pastor teacher. When I have humility before God, it will extend to humility before men, in as much as my relationship to my pastor and the way that I have come under the pulpit that he is preaching in. The relationship that I have toward him is frequently a mirror image of the relationship that I have toward God. And so when I say to myself, I stand before God alone, I'm denying His Word. And in an attempt to elevate myself, I say, well, I stand before God alone. And yes, at the Bema Seat, you will stand before God alone. But we're not talking about the Bema Seat. At the Bema Seat, you won't have a pastor. I stand under the covering of a pastor-teacher. This is the divine table of organization. And the Word of God says, now, it is possible that those listening perhaps on the internet may not like this. Well, it's in your Bible. If you have a problem with the Bible, take it up with the guy who wrote it. I'm just telling you what it says. When the Word of God says, submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may in due time lift you up, what does that look like? How does that become practical? Well, very simple. I take my proper place in the local assembly and I come under the spiritual authority of my pastor-teacher. Now, the pastor-teacher earlier in that same chapter, he says, he is not the Lord over God's heritage, but he is a covering in Hebrews 13 to God's heritage. In other words, the pastor is not going to tell you, do these details of your life, don't do these details of your life, buy this car, not that one, buy that house, not that one, move on this street, not that one. He's not going to tell you that. But when there is an important decision in my life, including often if I decide to buy a house, I come under a spiritual covering because the spiritual covering is my provision from God. It's my protection from God. Let me give you an example. When I was considering starting a Bible study out here, and the vision was to plant a church, I didn't just go and do that. Pastor Stevens was alive at the time. And so I went to Pastor Stevens, although I already knew that the leading was present. I didn't tell my pastor, Pastor, God told me to do this. What have I just done if I said that? I've totally taken the covering out, and perhaps he did, or perhaps I'm just responding in a subjective response to a subjective initiation. And so I came to my pastor and said, Pastor, I'm considering doing this. What do you think? And we did not have the first Bible study here until Pastor Stephen said, yeah, go for it. If he had said no, do you know what would have happened? There would be nothing here. Not from me anyway, not from Greater Grace with me. Very simple. Why? He was my covering. Before we incorporated as a church, Pastor Stevens had already died. So I went to Pastor Schaller and I said, Pastor, we're considering incorporating as a church. What do you think? He said, go for it. Now, I already knew that the leading was present, but the leading was confirmed and I was protected from my own subjectivity by my pastor. You see, when the Word of God says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? That means I don't know my own heart. And I got news for you. You don't either. It's not possible for a person to know his own heart. And because it's not possible for a person to know his own heart, that person needs to come under the proper spiritual authority. And in God's table of organization, I am called, I don't just pick and choose whatever my convenience happens to be, I am called to a specific local assembly, which is overseen by a specific pastor. I can't say I'm called to the local assembly, but not to the pastor, or to the pastor, but not to the local assembly. The office of the pastor-teacher is manifested within the local assembly. And so if I'm to stay properly covered and God calls this humility, If I am making a decision that is going to influence my life, I'm protected by the one who is watching for my soul, the pastor teacher. So if I'm interested, let's say, in going on the mission field, I say, Pastor, I'm considering the mission field. Now, if I say to Pastor, God told me to do this, you know what the pastor will do? He's not going to touch it. Because he is certainly not going to be found in opposition to God if he doesn't think it's a good idea. You are believer priests, and so is the pastor. So he will not be found in opposition to God. Now, I have to be careful at this point because it can become very tempting to be manipulative. I want something, and my desire then I define as God's will. Because my emotions agree with my desire, my soul says to me, must be God's will. Not even close. That's a manifestation of the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, let's say that I am in this place though, and I go to my pastor. Now, the pastor is spirit-filled and spirit-led. If he isn't, God wouldn't keep him as a pastor. Now, people might keep him as a pastor, but then you have a dead church. But if there is fruit in the church, and the message is transforming people's lives, you've got a messenger who's hearing from what the Lord has to say to the churches. You've got a living message. If that pastor, who God has put into that position and anointed to be pastor, says to me, go for it, then I just have received the confirmation that I need in God's table of organization to go for what I had thought. But he may also say to me, don't do that. Because he knows something about my capacity, he knows something about my life, and he knows how to hear from the Holy Spirit. And in saying, don't do that, he is protecting me from a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, you may not want to hear that. Your soul cleaves to the dust. What happens to the believer who steps out from covering? Well, the Bible makes it very plain. The Bible says that in that covering there is wisdom, and apart from that covering, there is death. You see, the Word of God says that by wise counsel, war is waged. How do I protect myself in the warfare? By wise counsel. And people will say, well, I'm not going to go to my pastor. All he's going to do is say no. You know what? Don't be so arrogant. Maybe the pastor will take a moment to hear from the Spirit over the ones the Spirit has given him charge to. Don't be so arrogant. I'll tell you right now, I personally would not take one step without the covering of my pastor. Why? Well, Peter told us why. Peter said, first of all, it's not a suggestion, it's something God tells us to do. He said, submit yourself to the elder and be clothed in humility. Humble yourself before God that He exalts you in good time. But He also in the same passage says, now listen to this carefully, folks. This is about your lives. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. But I want what I want. You don't know your heart. And by the way, you also don't know your spirit. The person who says to themselves, I want what I want apart from the will of God, is a fool. That is the definition of a fool. Check out Proverbs. How do you think an almighty king is going to respond to someone who says, I don't care what you think. I want what I want. You know what the king does? Throws them in jail. There are many believers who, because of this I want what I want mentality, are in prison to themselves. You know where it shows up first? Emotions. Emotions. Always in the emotions. Have you ever heard of someone who doesn't get what they want and they get all angry and ugly about it? I know people who quit churches for that. I didn't get what I want, I'm leaving. Bye! Personally, I'd rather they leave. Why? Because the other produces a nasty little spirit within the congregation that can infect other people. As a pastor, if somebody doesn't want to go with what I tell them from the pulpit, as I receive it from the Holy Spirit, I'd rather they leave. I'm not saying everybody has to agree with me. I don't care if they agree with me or not. But I would rather that they leave. Why? Because there's a whole rest of the congregation that needs to grow with God and needs a safe environment in which that growth can take place. You know why the pastor frequently says no? What you don't know about yourself, but he does. Sometimes a person wants to enter into something they're not ready for. But because they want it, they tell themselves, I'm ready, I want it. So I must be ready. And what happens to that person? They utterly fall on their face. They get hurt. They get damaged. Why do you think pastors stand in the pulpit and say, no touch love, for example, young people? Why do you think pastors like myself say, don't date young people? Because he's protecting you from damage. He's protecting you from crushing your own capacity. You see, didn't Paul tell Timothy, instruct those who oppose themselves, correct them, instruct them, teach them the way to do it right, because they are in opposition to their own lives? If I am humble, I will recognize the office in the heart of the pastor toward me. If I am arrogant, God resists me as I go about things my own way. You can't say to God, I want what I want, I don't care what you have to say. Do you realize that it's by His mercy that you're breathing right now? If you say to God, God, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do what I want. God says, okay, I'll do what I want. Pulls the plug on the air. He does that sometimes. I know people He's done that to. You say, I don't care what God wants, I want what I want. You know what God says? Time to come home. That's not a threat, that's the reality of the matter. You see, God is a majestic king. He's not your lackey. He owes you nothing. He's already shed His blood for you. He purchased you with His blood. He's not that interested and your soul cleaving to the dust. My soul will cleave to the dust if I'm not adequately built up and covered. And when I get into a circumstance, I humble myself and I submit to my pastor teacher. And God, in due time, lifts me up. Will I get what I want that way? I don't know. But I do know if you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desire of your heart. But that's a conditional promise. There's a step before that. Delighting yourself in the Lord. You see, some believers, thankfully we don't have those, but some believers commit adultery all the time. Not in their body, but toward God. God calls them His bride, and they say, I want what I want. You know why people do that? They don't know their own heart. They don't have understanding, and they're running from wisdom. What took Eve down? Ignoring wise counsel. That's what took Eve down. I'll tell you now, folks, this is a little bit of heart to heart. This message is going a little differently than I had intended. I'll tell you now, folks, you can't say to God, I'm doing it my way. Do you know why? He is actively holding your molecules together. You want to step out from under His covering, your molecules very well might fall apart. I know people whose lives have fallen apart when they've stepped out from under His covering. But my decisions are my own. Yes, they certainly are. So was Eve's. So was Lucifer's. So was Adam's. They certainly are your own. Just make sure they're the right ones. You see, God gives you the opportunity to pick and choose. If you have any sense at all, there's no choices. You submit yourself to the office of the pastor teacher. Submit yourself to the things the pastor teaches. Does that mean I have to agree with everything? No. But why are you in a church if you don't agree with your pastor? Were you called there or not? Were you called there? Maybe your pastor has something to say to you. See, there's a reason in Revelation 2 and 3 why the Holy Spirit says, if you have an ear to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the angel. Right? This is what the Spirit says to the angel of the churches, the messenger, the agalos, the pastor. Humility will hear. Pride resists. Something funny about resisting the message that God brings. Anybody know what it is? It's called the laws of Newton. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, right? I resist God, God resists me. I submit to God, God lifts me up. Simple as that. Young people, when the time comes, if you are praying whether or not this is a person is someone God brought into your life, talk to your pastor about it first. Well, he'll just tell me no. No, he'll tell you exactly what the Spirit tells him to tell you. Do you think that any pastor worth his salt is going to be presumptuous to speak for God and then speak for whatever? He'd be crazy. You know why? God deals with the pastors first. No, you be properly covered. If you don't want to agree, you're perfectly entitled to disagree. But why are you going to a church where you don't agree with what the pastor says? Were you called there? Or weren't you? Well, I was called, but I don't agree. So you're called to a place where you believe the pastor is preaching something apart from what God says. Doesn't work that way, folks. That's usually an opinion that tries to elevate itself above the Word of God. Lucifer found out it doesn't work well. Folks, the pastor and the office of the pastor, I don't care what church a person is called to, if they are called to that church, the pastor is the watchman. He watches over your soul. Why? So he can control me? No. So he can protect you. I'm no more interested in controlling any person in my church than I am in controlling anything else. I wouldn't want that. I've got enough details in my life without taking your details on. But this is the divine table of organization. You see, I can't say to God, I don't like the way you do things, and then blame the pastor for what God has said. What did Jesus say in the parable of the king who had purchased some land in the distance, and he rented the land, and then he wanted fruit from the land? And he sent a servant. And they said, oh, this is the servant. We're going to beat him. And then they killed him, and they beat him, and they sent him back. We're not giving you anything. And they sent his son, and they killed him, because they thought, okay, now's the inheritance. What did Jesus say the end of those people was going to be? But yet, we believers sometimes can do the same things. God says to the watchman, blow the trumpet. God says to the pastors, protect the flock. Feed the flock. Protect the flock. Watch for the flock. What happens to the pastor who won't watch? God says their blood is on his hands. What happens to the sheep that doesn't submit to the shepherd? The sheep gets eaten by wolves. Folks, whether it's this pulpit or whatever, if you decide you don't like this and you're called to another pulpit, by all means go. I'm not here building a church. I'm here because God sent me here. If you don't like what this pulpit says, then find one where you're happy with it. And maybe they'll tell you what you want to hear. I won't be offended. But if you're called to this church, then you're going to get preaching that comes through leading. And if you don't like the preaching, go somewhere where you like it. Doesn't that take away my autonomy? No, it certainly doesn't. We don't even have a written membership. But God says the humble person submits to the elder. Now, I don't walk around inspecting your lives. No good pastor does. And I trust grace for your lives. And sometimes I see things in people's lives that are not good. And sometimes I see things in people's lives that I pray about and say, this is a problem. Only rarely will I say something to them, because I trust grace for people's lives. But I'm responsible, and every pastor in the world is responsible before God to be a good watchman, to be a good shepherd. And if I tell it to you the way it is, then Peter says, I get a crown of glory. If I don't tell it to you the way it is, then Ezekiel says, your mistakes are on my hands. Every pastor is like that. You know what's funny to me? Sometimes people will try, and I've seen this many times in our ministry and other ministries, that don't like a message, so they try to run to another pastor. And you know what happens if he's Spirit-led? He scorches them. Why? Same Spirit. You see, where can I hide from your Spirit, Lord? The psalmist said. Well, under another pulpit. You mean God's not present there? Folks, get real. We're not playing games. We're not in a sandbox, and this isn't Tiddlywinks. There's a real eternity and a real kingdom and real lives and real souls, a real heaven and a real hell. Get real. God established the order He established for a reason. It's called protection in the warfare. Get real. Now, you can do what you choose, but it's not going to be without an answer. People think to themselves, I'll do what I choose, and if the pastor doesn't see it, I don't answer. You don't live before the pastor. You live before God. And it's the bema seat where the answer comes, not the pastor. The pastor is given as a gift to the body to be an architect of faith. If I want to step out from the covering of my pastor, I can. But I'm crazy. I personally would never consider going into business, going into relationships, going into anything with someone who was not properly covered by their pastor. Why? They have no wisdom. And their wisdom will show itself up in your interactions with them. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. Guarantee it. You can live your life the way you want, but you only have one to live. I don't know about anybody else, but I know really well that the Bema Seat is coming, and the Bema Seat is now. I'm very well aware of that. And my recommendation to you is that you take on the same mindset. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I know what pride can do. I've seen its results. And perhaps you think you can skirt the results, but you can't. Even the covering cherub could not. Either could Eve, either could Adam. You know what? Neither will you. put aside the want. Listen to this, folks. Put aside the lust. Because want, didn't Psalm say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Do you know what that means? Yes, it means I won't be in need. But why am I in need? Why do I perceive need when God said, I shall supply all your needs? It's a perceived need. My need is simply the way my heart interprets my want. Oh, I need this. If you needed it, you'd have had it. You're in deception of yourself. If you needed it, you would have had it. Don't try to supply for yourselves. Let God supply for you. There is one catch, though. In order to do that, you have to trust Him. But then on the other hand, if you don't trust Him, you can't please Him. You are here on earth, after all, for His good pleasure, not for yours. Does that mean God is cold? You can call Him any name you want. You can accuse Him all you like. You can listen to the atmosphere, initiate those accusations against God, against anybody else you like. It doesn't change reality. It really doesn't. Now, God did give you the promise that if you delight yourself in Him, He gives you all the desires of your heart. God gave you the promise that if you seek first the kingdom of God, all the things are added unto you. Some people are like, well, I want the things, I don't want the kingdom. I'm sorry, dear. They don't come apart from each other. And if you get the thing you desired, it's not going to be what you had hoped. It'll be your demise. You see, there is such a thing as leanness. And God resisting pride. Now, it's much better for a believer to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God than not. Think about something. The Bible says God has a mighty hand. You're under it. Okay? God has a mighty hand. You're under it. Ground. Me. God's hand. Now, if I am in a position like this, humility is better. Why? Because I can become flat. Flat believers sound funny. Cut! Ow! Stop! No! Please! Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.